Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 3 John. Tonight is study number 11, and we're going to be reading once again from verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And again, the Lord is moving the elder, the Apostle John, in all probability, to write to the beloved, to Gaius, who is being used of God to represent the elect. So this epistle is to us, and the elder, who typifies God himself, the Ancient of Days, is telling us, giving us excellent counsel and wisdom, follow not that which is evil. And the word follow is from a Greek word, mimeome, from which we more than likely get our English word mimic. And so it means to imitate, to follow. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, it speaks of certain individuals, and God says, whose faith follow? We follow the faith of the Bible, the faith that is Christ. We follow him. We follow the word of God, the true word of God. But we do not follow, do not mimic or imitate that which is evil. And that's not, of course, an easy thing to do, since evil is plentiful in this world. Everywhere we turn to something evil. When we turn on a television, or when we surf the web, or when we pick up a newspaper, what are the stories that we read about? What are the articles that we're reading? Well, mainly, I would say overwhelmingly so, the articles have to do with evil. The world is immersed in evil. And if something is not describing or recounting or telling us a tale about evil, it carries little interest normally to the human being, to the creature, to the man who lives in a corrupt world and who himself is in all evil if he is unsaved. And so the world is fascinated by tales of murder and robbery, by stories that involve adultery and fornication. Just think of the TV shows that you watch, or think of the movies that are in the theater. What kind of movies are they? What is the plot? What is the storyline? It would be very hard to find a film, a show, a book, a newspaper report that omits something evil. They actually are all about evil. That's what man is interested in. That is what attracts us. That's what attracted Adam and Eve originally in the Garden of Eden. They had a curiosity. They had a burning desire to learn, to gain knowledge about evil. They knew good. Good was everything God created. They themselves were created good. God was good, and they had a right relationship with him at the beginning. And all was good. And God established the law concerning that one tree that he gave the name of the knowledge of good and evil. You are not to eat of this tree. Well, Satan came and tempted Eve and got her thinking about that tree. God is trying to withhold something from you, trying to keep something back from your knowledge so you know nothing about it. And obviously, since Eve knew good, it was evil that she lacked understanding about. And what is this mysterious thing called evil? Why are we forbidden from eating of that tree? I wonder what pleasures there are to be found in the knowledge of evil. I wonder, it became a fascination with Eve and to the point that she disobeyed God and ate of the tree. And immediately she became acquainted with evil. Evil is transgressing the law of God. It is going contrary to the law, the word of God, to what God has said. Evil is a lie, as Satan, the father of lies, spoke to her and deceived her by them. Evil is that which is not good. It has no part in God. God is perfectly good. And so Eve learned of evil, and Adam and all of their descendants, all of their children down through the generations, and we ourselves are descendants from Adam and Eve. We know all about evil, but the knowledge of evil seems never to be satisfied. We're insatiable. We constantly crave to learn more about it. When there's a serial killer in the news, we're fascinated. We turn on the news and listen intently. When there's a war and men are doing things that are contrary to the law of war, war crimes, we're fascinated by it, and so on. Evil gets our attention because a perverse curiosity still remains within mankind, still remains within each of us, even if we're a child of God, because we're still in a fleshly body, and so we're attracted by evil. Of course, the entertainment industry is fully aware of this, and they concentrate on the baser subjects in order to attract an audience, a wide audience, because men are drawn to evil. It's very hard for people to resist. And yet God says, follow not that which is evil. Don't go after that which is evil. He tells us actually to be babes in evil. This is found in 1 Corinthians 14, where it says in verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Now, by that, the Lord is talking about the understanding of his word, the Bible. We should not be children in that. We should be growing and developing in the knowledge of God. But he goes on to say, howbeit in malice, and malice is another word for evil, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And the word men is a word that means perfect. And so God is indicating, come to maturity, to the stature of a perfect man in spiritual things. But we cannot overlook that statement towards the end, before we get to in understanding be men, where God says, in malice be ye children. We should be ignorant. That is what God wants us to be concerning evil. In other words, the Lord would have us to return to a holy state, to a condition that Adam and Eve enjoyed before they disobeyed God and ate of that tree that God commanded them not to eat of. Now, the Lord has restored us if we're truly saved, if we're a child of God. He has taken out the heart of stone, that heart that was dead in sin as a result of transgressing his law, and given us a new heart and a new spirit. Now we have a proper relationship with him. It is once again restored. He has restored our soul. He has restored the source of energy as he becomes our power supply, our light source, to energize us in spiritual things so that we now live. We have life in our soul. And now that this relationship has been restored to, in a sense, as it was before the fall into sin, although in a much better way, because now no sin we ever commit can break this relationship ever again. We have received eternal life, and we have become the bride of Christ, the eternal body of believers. We are of his bone and his flesh, and he'll never separate from us or divorce us. So we have a much securer and better relationship than Adam and Eve ever had. And therefore, God is saying, in malice, in evil, be children. Be as a child that knows nothing about evil, or very little. Of course, we were born in sin in this world. We were conceived in wickedness, and from the very beginning, we spoke lies. We sin. Yet, isn't it interesting that when we do enter into the world, when we're born into this life, what is normally the best part of a person's life? What memories do they cherish? Do they look fondly back on? Think of yourself when you think of your childhood and you think of the days when you were a little boy or a little girl. What is it that really is so wonderful about that period of time? Isn't it a large part of the blessing of being a child that you lack understanding of the ways of the world, that you are basically ignorant to many of the ugly, dark, and filthy things of this life and that men do? It's only as you grow, it's only as you develop into a young man and young woman, when you become a teenager and then a young adult and then increase in age and so on, that life's burdens seem greater and its troubles more severe, and joy seems to begin to leave, even though you could have been a very happy young boy or girl. What has happened? Well, it is the workings of evil. Evil that you've learned about, that you continue to learn of. These things are no good for you. Of course, the deceit of Satan, the lie of the devil, is that you must know them. You have to be kept up on all the news. You have to know what's going on in the world, after all, don't you, to be a responsible citizen? No, not to be a responsible citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Be as ignorant as possible of this world's daily events. Let us return, God is saying, to a condition where we do not follow that which is evil. We are no longer seeking evil. Here's what God says in the book of Amos, in chapter 5 concerning this, beginning in verse 13 of Amos 5. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so Jehovah the God of hosts shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that Jehovah God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Hate the evil, and love the good. Now we have a limited amount of time remaining to us, to each of us in our lives. None of us know how long we'll live, how much more time we have, but we do know how much time we've lived already, how many days we've lived. And now let's ask ourselves the question, how much of the time of our life past have we spent occupied with evil things, with the things of this world, focusing on them, dwelling on them, thinking about them, desiring them, seeking them? And I'm sorry to say, I know personally, I've spent quite a lot of time involved with those things. And is it any wonder that we're fearful, that we're anxious, that we're troubled in mind? Is it any wonder that we're not as happy as we could be, that we're not as content? Well, where is our focus? What is our attention on? If it's on this world, it's on evil. And therefore, let us remove ourselves from evil. Turn our attention away. We're not going to miss a thing. Don't we know all we need to know about evil is murder? We've learned everything we need to learn about murder. We know all the various ways that men can kill. We know all the ways that men can steal and lie and rob and hate and all the ways that people can be underhanded. Why do we need to hear any more tales of these things? Any more descriptions of these things? Any more accounts of these things or recorded events of men who commit these things? We don't need this any longer. Why do we feed upon these kinds of things when that which is good is readily available? And again, what is this good? Seek good, God says. Hate the evil. Love the good. Seek it and love it. And in the book of Romans, God says, cleave to it. That is, as in marriage, a husband and wife are cleaving to one another. They're inseparable in the eyes of God. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. They are cleaving to one another. And so we ought to be cleaving to the Lord Jesus Christ, cleaving to God, for he is good. But, of course, God is spirit. He's invisible to our eyes. We cannot see him with our physical eyes. How can we cleave to him? Well, we can cleave to that which we can see with our eyes, which we can feel with our hands, and that is the book that God has given us, the Bible. We can hold it. We can open its pages. We can read it. And all that we read therein, from Genesis through the book of Revelation, all the words of Scripture are good. Thy word is good. The Bible is that which is good and perfect and pure and holy and just and right. And as God tells us in Philippians, when he gives us the instruction to be anxious for nothing. Remember that? We go to him and cast our care. He says in Philippians 4, in verse 6, be careful, or that's the old English word, careful, that actually means anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, a lot of times we stop reading there. And yet after we pray this prayer, and after we thank God, we go right back to habits that will lead to anxious thoughts and being troubled of mind and cast down in soul. And we really should read verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, God actually is following up from the earlier verses where he's telling us to be anxious for nothing, and now he is giving us wonderful instruction. It is excellent advice, admonition from God. He is telling us how we may live our life in a better way so that these fearful thoughts and things that nag at our mind will not be so problematic or troublesome to us. That is, take our thoughts and turn them away from that which is evil and to that which is good. Now, when you look at verse 8 of Philippians 4, just ask yourself the question, what is true? What is honest? What is just? What is pure? What is lovely? What is of good report? What does possess virtue? And what is worthy of praise? And we'll find that the only thing that fits the description found in this verse, it is nothing of this world. It is the book, the Bible, which comes down from above, from the hand of God, from the infinite mind of the good Creator. And all of its words are described by Philippians 4, verse 8. They are true. All the words of the Bible are honest. All the words of the Bible are full of justice. They are just. All the words of the Bible are pure. All the words of the Bible are lovely, as is the Lord Jesus. All the words of the Bible are of good report. All the words of the Bible possess incredible virtue. And all the words of the Bible are praiseworthy. Therefore, think on these things. And you know, if you attempt to do this, and of course there are ways we can begin training our mind to do this by writing down verses on little index cards, carrying them around with us, and glancing at them throughout the day, trying to learn them, trying to memorize scripture. We can try to do this through meditation by consciously, intentionally thinking at points in the day or in the night of a verse of scripture or a passage or of a biblical subject or topic. We can think on these things, dwell on these things, and more to the degree that God is gracious to us and enables us to do that, we will find the peace of God which passes understanding. We will be headed towards that perfect peace that God is himself, as Christ is peace. If we think of Christ, we're thinking of peace. If we think of the world, well, we'll get what we're thinking about. We'll get the trouble of the world. Well, let's look at another passage in Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews 5, where God speaks about good and evil, and we'll just read it, and maybe I don't know how much time we'll have to spend on it in this study, but it says in Hebrews 5, in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. That's referring to Melchizedek. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Isn't it interesting that God describes these things this way? And he speaks of having our senses exercised by reason of use. You know, physically, we're all very familiar with flabbiness. When we do not exercise, especially as we get older, our body begins to get flabby. We can get fat. We can be out of shape. We're not exercising our body. We're not using our muscles. We're not using our legs and arms and heart in a way that the body was designed for in order to stay in better condition and a more healthy state. And therefore, we become unhealthy. Well, God is using that kind of idea concerning spiritual things, that there is a way of attaining to a spiritual sense of good condition, where you can exercise your spiritual understanding concerning good and evil, and that would be concerning truth and the lie and so on, that you can exercise that ability by reason of use, just as we exercise the physical body by reason of use. We walk, we run, we lift weights, we use the muscles. The muscles get tighter and toner and in better shape, and we are more healthy. This is the picture that God is using, but we'll have to talk about this more in our next Bible study.